is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us in New York City. Thank you so much to the vets out there. Hope you had a good day. Everybody else, I hope you also had a good day. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This is a 4-hour show. It gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You can always listen on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go ahead and hit rewind if you missed a minute or if you've missed a second. Thank you so much to Brian Fisher of Sports Illustrated for coming by and talking some college football with us. It is Monday. It is Monday night. We got Monday night football. Getting ready to kick off right now in Los Angeles. We got the Rams. We got the Dolphins. We talked about that. Talked about some of the larger games that took place over this weekend, not just in the college football space. Alabama smashing LSU, Ole Miss beating Georgia. We talked about the Steelers beating the Commanders. We talked about the Lions. Who cares if Goff throws 5 interceptions? Those Lions could still come out on top against the Texans. And in a few minutes, unfortunately, we got to talk about some losers. Mm-hmm. We got some teams that they're losers. They're thinking about winning the NFL draft. And it wasn't intentional. But this is just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, huh? Look, if you want to be a part of the show, it's simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. Hickey, I got to tell you, I finally know the day. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, this Friday, November 15th, sometime around, I don't know, 10, 11 p.m. Eastern time, okay? I found out what it is. I know. This is drilled into my brain.
Even though that is perfectly timed with the end of our show,
yes,
I have no interest.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch.
Do you have a rooting interest? Like, do you want to see one side win over the other?
Yeah. I want to see Mike Tyson beat the hell out of this fake boxer. Unless Mike Tyson is going to take a dive or Mike Tyson is too old, you know?
I am with you. Hope he wins. I'm a little worried. Like, that's, I guess, maybe what it is. Like, I don't want to see Jake Paul win because I don't want to have him now walk around thinking he's this big, tough boxer. I beat Mike Tyson. Look at me.
Part of him probably would, right? Not even a little ego. He's a showman. He's an entertainer. I mean, Mike Tyson's 58 years old.
With ulcers, amongst other health issues.
He looks good physically. You know, I don't think you lose that muscle memory. And so he looks good in the snippets that you see. But I read up about the fight. This is going to be 8 rounds. I think it's 2 minutes each round. No headgear. And this Jake Paul is a pretty big dude. Not to say that he's going to take a beating from Mike Tyson, but, you know, what can he? I mean, can he stand there? And is Mike Tyson going to tie himself out? This is a slapstick, you know what show, and so it could really do anything. I don't know, man. This is, how do you think this ends? In some type of stupid controversy, right?
I would assume yes. Maybe no clear winner. I mean, I hope it ends in a Mike Tyson victory or a knockout, but I'm afraid it may go the other way.
This is on Netflix. Netflix is trying to get involved in sports. Is this what they want? They want to have slapstick stuff on? I don't know.
Whatever. I guess, right?
They don't have NBA rights. Wait a minute. Do we got an NFL game coming up on Netflix or am I bugging?
Yes. All I was trying to remember was it. Yeah, no, it's this year, right? Yeah.
I know we got Amazon.
Christmas, right? Is it Christmas Day?
Oh, my God. How to watch the NFL on Netflix Christmas Day 2024. Wow.
They'll be a player soon. They got a lot of money.
Wow. It's the Chiefs and the Steelers. They got a game, bro.
Makes sense. Two big fan bases.
They got another game. They got Baltimore and Texas. The Texans, I should say. Wow.
Oh, is it a doubleheader?
Yeah. Wow, bro.
Wow.
Do we even know who the hell are calling these games? Do we know?
No. Remember they tried to get, was it Tom Brady, right, I believe, for these games? And I think Fox said, yeah, no.
They wanted to rent Tom Brady.
Hey, we got Tom in the booth here. Quick game.
Yeah. Now that we've heard Tom Brady, is there anything worth a damn of us listening to?
No.
I feel like every game that Tom Brady calls is a blowout. Is that true?
He calls a lot of Cowboys games.
Oh, my God.
Not been very competitive.
Was he on that call yesterday for the Eagles and Cowboys?
He was not. No, he actually had a good game yesterday.
What did he call?
Buccaneers, 49ers.
Ah, okay. Debo Samuel smack my own team game, huh?
The only thing I saw come out of that from Tom Brady was him breaking down one of the sideline guys that was holding the shade.
Excuse me?
Game is in Tampa. Hot, sunny.
Right.
So both teams on both sidelines, I guess by NFL rules, you can't build like basically a shelter. You can't build like a little hut to keep your players in the shade.
Right.
So you have to have like, you know, basically ball boys or water boys hold like a shade. Yeah, hold it. So
right,
Tom
right.
Brady was basically breaking that down in the broadcast of,
wow.
You know, these are the guys that hold the shade. And then when the offense is on the field, they're here. Defense on the field, they're there.
That was
the only thing I saw from Tom yesterday.
He hasn't had a signature moment at all yet, huh?
No. And it's a little surprising considering, again, all the experience he's had. Right. He's basically lived every situation. Tom, people would love to hear, hey, what would you do in this situation? Nothing.
Maybe it's because the games he calls sucks. The Cowboy. I mean, maybe that's why.
Maybe.
I know he was happy he wasn't on that garbage game that we saw with the Eagles and the Cowboys. I had that game on in the background. Every time I looked up, something disastrous was happening. I saw the replays. A CeeDee Lamb losing the ball in the sun. And CeeDee Lamb is saying after the game, yeah, I'd like a shade. It'd be nice if we had a shade. And Jerry Jones is... You know, I don't even know what to call him. He's being cantankerous. Yeah, let's rip the whole stadium down and build some blinds. It's just, the Cowboys are stupid. They're the worst soap opera just known to man. Listen, this is CeeDee Lamb saying, yeah, I ain't see the ball because the sun was in my eyes.
Couldn't see the ball. Couldn't see the ball at all.
The sun.
But
you in favor of Colts?
Yes, 1,000%.
You talked to Perry about that.
I mean, y'all doing my job right now.
He said, yeah, y'all, he knows about it. Yeah, I'd like some curtains. Oh, my goodness. Jerry Jones is just like, blame the head coach. He says, everybody knows the hickey. Was that not the most, the coach is a dumbass thing ever? When Jerry Jones said, hey, everybody knows the conditions. Like, Jerry Jones was being a jerk without being a jerk.
Absolutely. And he is willing to make any excuse possible to leave that window open for, I mean, it's not a long period of time. What is it, 25 minutes? Right?
Oh,
like
the sun is
blinding.
Bursting. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so he'd rather have the window open for 25 minutes and literally cost his team and blame the coach for not taking the right side of the field instead of just literally having a quick fix of just drop the curtain or pull the curtain over. And again, it just highlights the latest example on a laundry list of examples of him not truly caring about winning. This is just the latest one.
Sure, but doesn't it make more sense to just blame the coach? Like, use the sun to your advantage for the other team, right? Like, advantage. You got an advantage, use it.
Sure, but you can't control it every time, you know? If you lose
right.
the coin toss, you know, if you could control the side of the field you're going on every time, different story. Can't
right,
do that,
right.
though.
Correct. You're right. Good point. Touche.
I mean, that's just, it's...
Well, we knew he was...
He saw it happen! His own player lost to the sun. He goes, yeah, not my problem. What?
No, he wanted to be a jerk and say, well, we're not going to rip the stadium down and rebuild it. Okay. Whatever.
Oh, man.
What a dumpster fire this is. And then they ask Micah Parsons, who just returned. Micah Parsons was standing in the locker room. And he was just asked about the coaching and faith in the coaching, and he took it as an opportunity to just say, look, I don't know if Mike McCarthy is going to be here next year. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about our players who have played and do a whole lot more than him. It was just he went to the buffet and just put a whole lot of stuff on there that he didn't need. He was dishing things out. That was unnecessary. Let me put it that way. Listen to Micah Parsons.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Damn. We got to put the coach and the players in the same category as to what they do. Obviously, the players out there busting their ass. But why you got to throw some more dirt on Mike McCarthy while his coaching tenure here with the Dallas Cowboys is still alive? I think we all knew heading into this season it was on life support. I think we all knew that Mike McCarthy, well, he is a lame duck. He was going to be a lame duck. And the fact that they're not having success, by the way, isn't all his fault. You think about the guy who's out there selecting the players for the Dallas Cowboys. It ain't Mike McCarthy. It's Jerry Jones. It's Jerry Jones and his lack of spending here for the Dallas Cowboys. This is bad, man. It's like they've all quit. Dak Prescott is more than likely out for the remainder of the season. You got the star wide receiver who you just gave a crap ton of money to. Wide receiver CeeDee Lamb is just like, oh yeah, the sun is blind and it'd be nice if we had a shade. I dropped a touchdown because of the stupid sun. You got Jerry Jones is just like, hey, y'all are all blaming each other. I ain't got nothing to do with this. Jerry Jones is saying we shouldn't have spent money. Like, this is, Hickey, why don't they just all quit tomorrow?
You know, kind of makes sense at this point. Just burn it all down at this point. Like, start over. Take Jerry Jones' advice to heart. Rip the stadium down, fire everybody, and just restart the entire franchise. That's what they need. They need an entire reset.
Yeah, well. Oh, my God. They're going to be like, and I'm not hoping or wishing, not at all. But whenever Jerry is gone, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 100 years, whenever he's gone, I don't know. They're going to be like the Raiders, Hickey. That's how bad they're going to be. They're already bad, but can you, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Stephen Jones would be smart enough to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to bring somebody else in to help run the team. What do you think?
No chance.
You think he has the ego of his father?
I don't know about the ego. I think he thinks he can do a better job.
He's going to try.
And I think he does have, there are some things you can look at with what he's done, his track record, to believe, okay, yes, he's better than his father. Maybe, hopefully, less delusional, first and foremost.
Has to be. Can he be worse than his dad? What do you think?
No.
No. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree.
And maybe, right, because with Jerry, it's so obvious and over the top. Maybe because he's seen his entire life, he gets sick of it and has vowed to himself, I will never be like my dad. Plenty of people are like that. And that could be maybe a positive here for Cowboys fans going forward. I mean, not seemingly, and hopefully, again, not wishing death on anybody anytime soon, but, you know, at some point.
You saying this guy's waking up saying, I don't want to be as bad as my dad?
I mean, if he's in the business, if Steven is truly in the business of winning, then yes. I'm sure he wakes up every day with that thought, right? I mean, can you not?
I don't know. I mean, is he the voice of reason that can't... Look, I think a lot of people can relate, whether it's a spouse, a parent. Can you always be honest because you don't want to hurt their feelings? You think his son knows that this is bad and it's dad's fault, but he can't go tell dad? He can't do that, right? He has to kiss his dad's ass so he can get the Cowboys?
Even if he told him, do you think Jerry's listening?
No.
I agree.
No.
Jerry listens to one man, himself.
Nobody. Not even himself. Well, you got three or four different voices going on back there, man. I don't know.
You may be right about that.
I don't want to know what Jerry Jones thinks of. What does this man think about? I don't know. What is it, 7 o'clock local time? He's probably eating dinner somewhere right now, huh? Getting fed grapes. I don't know. He's getting ready to watch. He might be in Los Angeles. I know that's his favorite. He helped put the team there. I don't know. Maybe he's in L.A. Whatever. Dallas Cowboys are awful, and it stinks that there's no hope. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You want to talk about no hope? things are so bad right now in Chicago that people are looking at Eberflus, and they were yelling at him to be fired yesterday after the Chicago Bears couldn't score a touchdown to save their lives. You want to talk about ruined? Caleb Williams is supposed to be the future. And, man, they may have to start over next year. Not with Caleb Williams gone, but with a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. And what a way to set them up for failure right out of the gate. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bears on the other side of the break. We're going to get into some of these teams and what their NFL chances, what their NFL draft chances might look like to end up with the first overall pick. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Well, Monday Night Football, it just started. We already have a score on the board. Malik Washington with an 18-yard rush for the Dolphins. Extra point is good. The Miami Dolphins now lead the Rams 7-0. 5 plays, 70-yard drive. Only 3 minutes have gone by. There's still plenty of time. We'll keep you up to date on Monday Night Football as it continues on. The Dolphins already off to a 7-0 lead. We're getting ready to talk about another bad team in the Chicago Bears. We just talked about the Dallas Cowboys. We got players complaining about the sun. We got Micah Parsons making comments about Mike McCarthy. And then, Hickey, you got to be kidding me. You showed me this photo in the break. They made a joke at Mike McCarthy's press conference today about the sun.
Oh, they did. They can't afford to put curtains, or maybe not afford, don't want to put curtains in the stadium, despite their players literally begging for it and being blinded by the sun. But for Mike McCarthy's press conference at the Star, right, their headquarters for the Cowboys, they have a sunblocker. I don't even know what you would call it, like a little like thing or partition that comes up and blocks the sun when Mike McCarthy does his press conferences.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw it. It went viral today. And didn't he make a joke about it? He said, what is this, to protect me, shade me from the sun? At least he's having fun on the way out the door, right?
I was about to say, like, yes. But if I was, like, doesn't that just make it, like, you're, like, he's the one directly impacted. He's going to get fired in part because they got blown out by the Eagles. I don't think they won that game yesterday anyway, but if CeeDee Lamb makes that touchdown catch, maybe it's a little bit closer, maybe a little bit more respectability.
But we knew he was going to get fired before the season even got started. And
right.
I think all things considered, he has not, he's been even. He doesn't say some of these stupid things that we hear from other coaches like Nick Sirianni. He's not panicking. For as bad as they are, he has stayed so even. Like, he can add to the clown show. He could go out there and start juggling. He could ride a motorcycle, you know, a tiny motorcycle. He can do a lot to add to this bleep show that is the Dallas Cowboys. But he is actually probably the most stable thing in the entire organization, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, he does have a good voice. You're not wrong. He doesn't put, you know, his foot in his mouth and say things that get people upset. Does he elevate the team? I would argue no. He doesn't detract from it, at least publicly, in terms of, you know, what he says. But, yeah, that's also partly, I think, why he's been around for so long.
I think we've had other – I think there are other coaches who could potentially just tank this and make it worse than what it is. And that's what makes it crazy what we heard from Micah Parsons yesterday. You know, he was asked about the job security of Mike McCarthy. And he started off by saying, hey, this is above my pay grade. And then he went on to comparing him to a player. And Zach Martin on the offensive line, closer to the end, much closer to the end than the beginning of his career. This would probably be the end of his career. And he's just like, I'm more. He's like, hey, it's above my pay grade. But then he continues to comment on it. It's above my pay grade to address Mike McCarthy's future. Then he says he can go wherever he wants. I think he would be fired or let go. And then he punctuates the statement at the end by pretty much saying, hey, Zach Martin, who plays, has done more than Mike McCarthy ever could. Well, why are we putting him in the same boat, one as a coach and one as a player? If you want to be clear, say, hey, I'm in the locker room battling with someone like Zach Martin. So he should have just left him out there completely. Like, stand on the first part of your statement, and it wouldn't be, quote unquote, I think as he said, misinterpreted or misstated. What are your thoughts, Hickey?
I'm with you in the sense of, don't, like, why are you taking the bait? You know, they're asking him about the job security of Mike McCarthy until half the season to go in order for him to say something like that.
Right.
And like you said, he started off the answer fine, above my pay grade. Okay. Or you're not worried. Like, there's so many stock answers. I'm not worried about that. I'm just trying to get better every day. We're trying to get, you know, improve. We just got blown out.
Not my job.
Right. And then to say, the end, look, I don't care, because I've seen some people try to defend what Micah Parsons said. The end is the most damning thing. You know, they've put in, you know, talking about the players, more work than Mike McCarthy ever has, period, stop. If you respected the coach, if you liked the coach, if you still played for the coach, again, you're not answering that question first and foremost, but you are definitely not going as far as you did in answering that question and saying what you did the way Micah said it. There's no doubt about his feelings and really the lack of respect he has for his head coach.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. And then he decided to do what I guess every player does now. Go on his podcast to defend himself. Take a listen. This is Micah Parsons on his Bleacher Report podcast saying, oh, my words were twisted. And oh, this, da, 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 da. Listen to Micah Parsons.
I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Like I said, he's one of the most winningest coach. He is a Super Bowl champ. I never once brung up his past. And the question that was asked was about here in the Dallas Cowboys, did I see Mike McCarthy in our future? And I said, that's above my pay grade. So never once did I ever intended or wanted to reflect on Mike McCarthy's career, because I always knew it was a good one. I've always had a great relationship with Mike McCarthy, and I never even put that in question. And for a guy like Rex Ryan, I just know he wanted to coach the Cowboys. Like, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman, because if we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, imagine what he could do to a locker room. Like, that's just honestly just outrageous to me at the end of the day. Like I said, man, when you play football, all coaching aside, and you can look at college, you can look at even the pros, coaches are, you know, their careers are way longer. You know, they can decide to take a better job. They can move on. You kind of see that a lot from DCs, OCs, head coaching positions. Sometimes better job openings just open up. And you truly never know. You never know how the dice is going to roll with coaches. But when you talk about guys you consistently going to war with, man, like guys that I seen Tyron and Zach barely can walk throughout the week, take a tutor off, go out there and play.
Yeah, but it's your fault. You pretty much explained that you conflated the two. You mixed them up. Yeah, you were asked about Mike McCarthy and his job security. But you were the one who just started mixing up all the ingredients. Why are you mixing everything up? Like, I hope he takes this as a learning experience. And, you know, what Rex Ryan says, Rex Ryan says. I heard him say that, hey, Deion Sanders needs to come and coach the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, in the general consensus, the question, what was said in the locker room, there was nothing made or presented, indicative, asked about Mike McCarthy and his resume. Ain't nobody asking about what he did with the Green Bay Packers. People are talking about right now. And just his response was just, you put it out there. As Hickey said, you took the bait. Like, learn from it. And Hickey, I don't think there will be any learning from it, because it will always be easy to just sit down on your podcast for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, and just say what you want instead of learning how to, you know, have that discourse, you know, with a member of the media or anybody who's going to challenge you. Nobody wants to have a conversation. People just want to run into their hole. I don't know. I sound like grumpy old man, but this is like social media stuff, you know?
And this is almost like kind of even a bigger, you know, glance at just kind of life, like you said. Like, people want to hear what they want to hear, whether it's true or not. People want to believe what they want to believe. And in the case of Micah Parsons, he wants to believe that he said nothing wrong, so he'll use his platform to defend himself, even though, again, I think we all heard what we heard yesterday, and there's no real defending what he said or no ambiguity in those words. And I'm with you. I don't think there will be a lesson learned. You know, him and Mike McCarthy apparently cleared the air. Also, what leg does Mike McCarthy have to stand on? What is he actually going to say that can command the respect of Micah Parsons? I don't think much, if anything. So yeah. That just all sounds like more just PR BS to just kind of put the story away.
He's out the door. Here's a better question. When do we get the podcast that we've all been waiting for? When do we get Micah Parsons and Draymond Green? When do they do a show together?
Oh, boy. Well, Draymond is doing football content now, right? With his new podcast.
I can't keep up. I thought Baron Davis has now joined him on his own Draymond Green show.
I think he has. And then Draymond added, I believe, a football talking podcast as well, because he's so well versed in football and I guess has so much time to just be now doing two podcasts along with, you know, playing a season.
Right. Warriors at 8-1? 8-2, I guess.
Playing well. I mean, Steph's playing well.
Has his football podcast started already?
I do not know. I remember they announced it recently. I don't know when it's starting. I'm assuming, I mean, if you're going to do a football podcast.
You think you do it now, right?
But you're not waiting until February.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we don't know, that's either good or bad. The podcast is so bad, we never heard anything about it. Well, I don't know what the good is.
Yeah, I was just I guess you had something stupid yet, like.
You would think, LeBron James should go play tight end. Kelsey stinks. LeBron should go take over. I don't know. We haven't heard nothing like that, so I guess it's good. Hey, it gives me something to take a look at in the break. Maybe Draymond will go play tight end, you know, on the opposite side for the Bears. I don't know. I have no idea. It's so many podcasts, man. Ugh. Haven't heard anything about Angel Reese podcast lately. I guess we got to wait a few weeks, huh?
Is she still doing it in the offseason, or is that on hiatus?
I don't know. I saw Caitlin Clark at the Knicks game yesterday with the Pacers. That was
something. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she was at in Indiana. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good for her staying there in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she doesn't take me as a type to, start a podcast and just talk about herself, you know?
No. Yeah, I don't know what she even would talk about. Yeah, she does not seem like that kind of...
Good.
That kind of person.
Good. Need more people like that. Just show up and do the work and not get into crap about the talking. She's making so much money. Just playing. Good for her. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Chicago Bears and the disaster that they're in. I'm going to give you an update on some other NFL disasters as teams are pretty much ending up in position to have the number one overall pick. Yeah, I don't know if it's something that you go for or if it just happens because you stink in tanking. It's secretly tanking. We'll talk about that some more as we continue on.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to think, yes, think, O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Monday Night Football continues on. Still a 7-0 score in Los Angeles as Miami has a lead here halfway through the first. About 6 minutes to go here in the first. Miami up 7-0. Against the Rams. Miami with the ball, looking to do some more damage. Right before we went to break, unfortunately, we talked about the Dallas Cowboys. What, not surprising anybody, week after week after week, there's a new disaster, there's a new controversy. Now we got to talk about the shades and the sun that comes in, the stadium blinding, the Cowboys players. It's just, it's a mess. Meanwhile, there's a team in Chicago, and we were asked about this earlier on in the show. I'm specifically referring to the Chicago Bears, that at one point about a month ago, they had a record of 4-2. The Bears have now lost 3 games in a row. They now fall to 4-5. And how ugly could it be? It can't get worse than this, right? They lost
yesterday to the New England Patriots, the final score, 19-3. They have not scored a touchdown in 23 straight offensive drives. Caleb Williams was sacked 9 times yesterday. That is not what you want for your rookie quarterback. This man was basically fed to the wolves. The New England Patriots ate him alive. Let me remind you, if you weren't aware, the Patriots also suck. They're worse than the Chicago Bears, or maybe they're not. Drake May didn't do much of nothing, only passed for 184 yards, had a touchdown and a turnover, an interception. But the Chicago Bears at 4-2, they were people who had high hopes for them this season. And look, they still might end up at or around 500. But let's be real. This was always going to be a difficult just pathway for them to get into the postseason, knowing that they were already playing in a ridiculously competitive division. The NFC North has the Super Bowl contending Detroit Lions. It has the Minnesota Vikings. I know even whether they win ugly or Sam Darnold's throwing a ball away, it ain't easy. Green Bay is 6-3. In Chicago, let's be real, they're the lowest team on the totem pole, 4-5. They ain't making no postseason. Not at all. And so yesterday, after Caleb Williams was turned to mincemeat, after he was destroyed, teammates looking at him just on the ground, on the floor, the fans in Chicago were chanting for Matt Eberflus to be fired. Shane Waldron, it basically took away the play calling for this man into the future. And nobody in Chicago has no idea why they cannot score a point. And so head coach Matt Eberflus, he was asked, hey, your quarterback is getting beat to hell. Are you concerned with that? Yes or no?
Caleb's strong. He's strong inside. He's strong outside. He's a strong individual. And he's been through adversity. And he knows how to do this. He knows how to get through adversity by pulling together. And, you know, and he's got to pull. We got to pull together with everybody else, you know, too. You know, so it's important that we get that done moving forward.
Oh, my God. Hickey, why isn't the answer just yes? Why can't, whether you're an NFL coach or a player, what is so difficult about it? Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I talk for a living, you talk for a living. Maybe that's why. You know, I'm not a football coach. But when it comes to some of the answers that they give, whether it's, you know, Michael Parsons or Mike McCarthy, or you have a head coach, hey, your quarterback got sacked 9 times. Are you worried about it? No, he's strong. Like, what are we doing here? Why can't the correct answer is, yes, I'm concerned. He shouldn't be knocked around 9 times. He is the future of the franchise. We need to protect him. He also needs to make better decisions. We all need to do better. Cut, end scene. That's it.
I think the problem is if he says yes to that question, he's fired immediately. Do you feel like you're ruining Caleb Williams with the amount of times he's gotten sacked? You say yes, you're out of a job.
That's not what they asked him. They didn't say, is it your fault he's getting wrecked? No.
No, but they're saying, are you ruining him? Like, are the Bears, the offense, the play, is the organization overall, are they ruining Caleb Williams with how much he's gotten hit? He's fired on the spot if he says yes. Now, he's probably going to get fired anyway, but...
Yeah, what's a few more games? Yeah, now, this is a better question. He's in protect his ass mode. Because the fans are chanting to fire him. Matt Eberflus was asked, how would you defend yourself? And listen to this answer.
We have the men in the room, and we have evidence on tape of doing it. You know, we've played some good complimentary games in terms of offense, defense, and kicking. And we've, you know, scored points, a few games in a row, you know, and done a good job of that. You know, so we have to find the winning way and our winning formula to get that done.
Yep. That's a guy that's going to get fired. Think you ever seen those sitcoms? The show starts off, I don't know, some kid is getting pummeled on the ground and then it's a freeze frame and then you hear the voiceover in the back. Yep. So you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds like him. Like they could have froze the press conference right there at that moment, at the second. At that second. You could have brought up a voiceover from like 2 months from now from Matt Eberflus. Yep, so you're wondering how I got here. you just do a quick rewind on what happened this entire season all the way up until the moment that he gets fired. And there was so much optimism, so much hope about the Chicago Bears and what they could do this season. DJ Moore, DeAndre Smith, bringing in Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet is there. But you have no offensive line. And Caleb Williams is still adjusting to the NFL. This guy is probably holding on to the ball for too long. And this is just a terrible elixir. You know, Caleb Williams has been tasked with going out there and just is saving the world. You know, he didn't end up on Washington. I don't know if things would have been better, but he didn't. He ain't running around like that either. And so DJ Moore, a wide receiver in the NFL who's capable of hauling in 1,000 yards every single season, DJ Moore was asked why the offense stinks, why there have been no touchdowns in 23 straight offensive drives, why you can only muster 3 points, a field goal against the Patriots. This is what DJ Moore said.
I don't know, just the details of things. You got to go back, see what was working back then and bring it forth now and run with that.
So we have to be real with yourselves. What is real right now?
We ain't moving the ball. Three and outs are happening too many times, and we're getting third and longs too many times.
Oh, boy. Well, Miami with an interception on Matthew Stafford. Okay. Matthew Stafford trying to go down the field and boom, snatch the ball away. Miami Dolphins have the ball, a minute left to go here in the first quarter. And 7-0, they want to extend the lead, extend the game. Well, extend the lead. Yeah, we'll keep you up to date on that one. Hickey, this is that time of the year. A lot of these NFL teams, they're just done, man. Cowboys are done. Bears, ain't no bounce back in the NFC North. They're finished. Last week, we talked about all the 2-win teams in the NFL, and the Chicago Bears just got beat by one of them. Now these New England Patriots are running around with 3 victories. I'm a little concerned, and maybe it's good for Caleb Williams. How do I say this? Better sooner than later, right? Like, don't hold on to Eberflus and if you're going to switch things, just do it in the second year. But then it's going to be like another rookie year where he's hoping that he's not running for his life.
And look, that's why I think when you look back to the end of last year, I don't think it's unfair. And I don't think we're just using hindsight to say he should have been fired at the end of last year. But there were questions of, all right, you're making this move. Right? You're making this transitional switch from Justin Fields now to Caleb Williams. Is having a defensive-minded head coach, who, by the way, had to just fire his offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, who's so bad, by the way, the Raiders fired him halfway through the year. Yeah. Now you're going to trust him to hire another offensive coordinator and trusting him to develop a rookie that is, I mean, Caleb, just by, you know, the hype and everything, you could argue he's the most talented quarterback the Bears have ever had already. Like, this is a big undertaking here and a lot of pressure. I think it's fair to question the judgment of, are you really sure that bringing Eberflus back this season was the best decision, you know, once 2023 ended? And I think we're seeing the answer right away is clearly no. Yeah. So I think you're right. Look, better late than never, right? Don't wait 2 years. Don't wait 3 years. Get it over with. I would have gotten over with yesterday, honestly. Fire him right there on the spot after that game. Same with the offense coordinator. But if you fire him after the end of the season, it's still better, especially if you get it right, compared to waiting and kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, I think they want to maintain just some continuity for Caleb Williams' sake, just to get through this season. And so even I wouldn't fire Eberflus right now. I mean, this has already burned. You got a bunch of months until you get to next year. There is no bounce back for the Chicago Bears the rest of the season. They're over. They're done. All you can do is just try to go out there and be competitive and hope that you can keep this dude upright. Unless things completely hit the skids, there's still a lot of the season left here. They have Green Bay next, not easy. Minnesota, not easy. Detroit, not easy. San Francisco, not easy. Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. Their schedule is one of the toughest schedules that we have left here in the league. And I don't know if just hitting a switch and getting rid of Eberflus right now is going to change things, because they ain't turning their season around. You got to tough this one out and just keep Caleb Williams upright. Do you want to rock the boat like this in his first season? I think it would even show you how dysfunctional the Bears are. Not a good look. I think a lot of people were were drinking a Kool-Aid when this was 4-2 for the Bears. They were not no damn 4-2 team. And now they're going through this stretch run. Look at the teams. They lost to Washington. Okay, fine. Arizona's beating up on people. They get you into a shootout. I will still never trust them. But losing to New England? Pathetic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you an update on Monday Night Football. Have the Dolphins extended their lead? We'll tell you what NFL teams are in lead for the number one draft pick. We have so much more to do. The JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.